acknowledge the funding source and the study team. It's quite a large team, but I wanted to acknowledge them. The purpose today of my presentation is to describe data collection, analysis, and synthesis methods that we used in this CBPR research project of Dr. Knight's that focused on maintaining scientific integrity and rigor while adhering to or attending to the tenets of CBPR. And as I assume most of you know, CBPR is done in collaboration with community members. It addresses key community issues that are identified by those community members and includes members of the community as equitable partners in the design and implementation of a research study. Another goal is to facilitate long-term sustainability of the projects that you're implementing if you find that they work for that community. As Dr. Knipe has already addressed, our community was women in the welfare transition program, and these women typically have poor health. Their health needs and problems are poorly identified and inadequately addressed. There are ineffective or no health-related services for them at all, and there's wide variation by state and by county of both the types of services provided and the intensity of any services that are provided. Typically, any health services that are provided focus on mental health, drug abuse issues, and domestic issues of domestic violence. Those states and programs that do any kind of screening tend to focus on these mental health issues rather than physical health concerns. Only 7% of the states have done any health screening and referral process for physical health conditions. And yet there are federal recommendations about addressing the health needs, and as you've heard from Dr. Knipe, those health needs are an important part of their employability and their being successful in the welfare transition programs. So the overall study design, just to reiterate, the first phase was to develop a screening tool for the women, by the women in the program, then to validate the tool in the second phase, and then in the third phase, which they're in now, is to conduct a public health nursing intervention using the health screening tool to identify the health needs, and then working with the women through health-related education and referral process to help hopefully improve health. That's one of the outcomes of the study. So we wanted to make sure we got this tool that would really address those issues. So I'm going to focus on phase one of the study, and that's developing the health screening tool. She's already discussed the sample makeup, so I'm not going to talk about that. But when we were deciding to use focus groups for this project, we wanted to make sure, as is part of the CBPR, that we really worked with the Community Advisory Board and community members about what our strategies were for the data collection. The Community Advisory Board consists of key stakeholders in the community, including women who are in the welfare transition program, caseworkers who work in the program, people who help provide health services in some of the clinics in the area, as well as employers who potentially will employ these women, because we really wanted to have it be a group that were the stakeholders. Participant recruitment as part of this was key, and our research team includes a research assistant and a project coordinator who were women who had gone through the welfare transition program and now are employed by our study. And they did the recruitment at the welfare transition, at the welfare office, and that was key because they were seen as members of that community, so the women were much more likely to participate in the study because of the recruiters that we had and seeing them as people that understood what these women were going through. We also, as we did the focus groups, we wanted to make sure that we included the research assistant and the project coordinator in the facilitation of the focus group, in part to help them learn skills about facilitating focus groups, and that gave them, and they had not done any speaking in front of groups before, so this was really a good skill for them to develop. And one of the project coordinator, for example, opened up the focus group and talked the sessions and talked to the women about what was the focus group about, what was the study about, what did we need from them in terms of their participation, as well as sort of the procedural rules about turning off your cell phone or having it on vibrate, and if you need to leave to take a call, that's fine. Also, talking about, we wanted input from everybody in the group, and everybody's input was valuable, but we also had this prescribed amount of time, so if we redirected the conversation, that didn't mean what they had to say wasn't important, but that we needed to cover certain topics during that time that we had allotted, but that if people wanted to talk to us later in more detail, that we would stay afterwards, and we did do that, and some of the women did stay and talk with us. As Sean said, we audiotaped these groups and transcribed them and verified the transcripts. And in our field notes, we were really careful about talking about and writing about our impressions of what we thought we heard. And the reason, I'll talk about the reason for that as we go on. So this really was an emergent design. And this is really critical. When you're designing studies using CBPR, it's really important that you think ahead about what it is you're doing. A lot of times when people do focus groups, they just have a set of questions, and they go out and they ask a set of questions to develop a tool, and it's a more a topical approach to this. We wanted to understand how the women perceived their health and what their health needs were and how we could best address those needs. So our collection and analysis occurred simultaneously. We would do a focus group, we would talk about it, we would revise our questions for the next focus group based on what we were hearing. We didn't want to lose this opportunity. It's a wonderful opportunity to have people who give their time to you, so you want to make the most use of that. And unless you think about that, you know, up front about what you're doing and how you're going to approach it, you may end up doing these great focus groups and getting the topical stuff, but you may miss a lot of the meat of what some of the issues are, things that they want you to know. So we applied a typology a priori, and I'll show you that in a minute. It's based on the Sandalowski and Barroso classification of qualitative findings. And it's really key that you're mindful about the questions that you're asking. We had an interview guide, not an interview questionnaire. We started with topics we wanted to make sure we covered with possible probes. But as women took us in particular directions in those focus groups, we incorporated questions to make sure we addressed those things, because that's what gets you the really rich data. So we had the three rounds of focus groups. And here's the typology. This was done, a study done by Sandalowski and Barroso, where they did a meta-analysis of qualitative studies in HIV in women, I believe. And they took all the qualitative studies that had been done in a particular lit search that they did, and they classified the findings. And they talked about studies as having no findings all the way up into an interpretive explanation. I'm a qualitative researcher. I tend to focus my questions and my data analysis on this interpretive explanation end of the, well, I can't get that, but on the interpretive explanation end of the continuum. That's where I sort of live. Dr. Kneipp is more a quantitative researcher. She had a purpose in these focus groups of getting this topical survey designed. So we really needed to think about, before we went into this, how are we going to approach these focus groups and our data analysis. So we originally set out a direction of focus. The first round would be more thematic survey, and we would move towards that topical survey as a way to look at the data and to focus our questions. You'll see in a minute how we did some revision. This was a direction, not a directive. But it helped us know where we kind of both were in this process. So I wasn't going down one direction and she wanted me to go another way, or she needed me to go another direction in the facilitation and analysis. So the first round of focus groups were broad, open-ended questions. We asked them about their views about being healthy and unhealthy, and what was it that healthcare providers needed to know about them to meet their needs. And that was very broad and open. The second one, as she already has sort of talked about, was more focused. We had this list of topics that they had given us, and we said, how does this list look to you? Are there things we should add or take off or revise? And we gave some sample questions and talked about, asked them if these questions were okay and sensitive to their needs and respectful. But during the same time, these issues about this process that she just talked about, this process of screening, kept coming up. Issues related to trust, issues related to disclosure, issues related to managing their, having some choice and flexibility so that they could manage their time in a way that was meaningful to them, that they could fit this screening process into their time frame, not ours. So we really needed to think about making sure we continue to incorporate questions and discussion about those issues. In the third round, originally, if you remember when I showed you on that graphic earlier, we were going to be really focused on this topical survey, but now we realized we had to continue to include these open questions related to process. So we did the specific stuff about understandability and appropriateness and did this, you know, would they fill out the tool? But then we also allowed time in those focus group discussions for further discussions about process and trust and time management and flexibility and disclosure so that we could really adapt what we were going to do in the intervention to meet their needs as they defined them. So it was this iterative process of moving. We started, you know, with 1 through 3 looking at the themes, but then 4 through 9, rounds 2 and 3, really moved between the topical survey and that conceptual thematic description. And that's what's key about this. You really have to think about what it is you're doing and what you need and what you're hearing, because we needed to unpack these ideas about what it means to be respectful. What does it mean to develop a trusting relationship? How do the women define that? And what can we do to facilitate that? And so this was really helpful when we did that. So what we found out, or what we ended up with, was we did get this tool that really identified the topics and issues that were important to them. It was culturally sensitive. When we talk about culturally sensitive for this group of women, the culture here is women on welfare. It's not as much focused on racial and ethnic issues as it is poverty, having kids, and trying to navigate your way through a welfare system and a healthcare system and all social service systems that are all operating in silos. So that was the culture that we were addressing. We identified issues with the health screening process itself. This assumption that I give you a tool and I'm a healthcare provider and you'll fill it out and it doesn't matter if it asks questions about sexual activity or smoking or weight, and that should be okay because you should trust me, I'm a healthcare provider, that doesn't work. So that's when Sean talked about how we revised and gave a brief description. We need this information because. Really made the difference to these women. It showed respect for their need or desire to be able to decide what they wanted to tell us and what they didn't. So the implications for us, I think CBPR is a wonderful opportunity to really experiment with some new methodological strategies that you can really do this emergent design, and it works really well and it really fits with the tenets, but you really have to have a sense before you go in of what it is you're trying to do while being open. So again, this idea of identifying a focus of your analysis can provide direction, but it's not a directive. You don't decide we're going to do it this way and we're not going to change from this how we've decided to do it. You have to be open to what the data is telling you, and you have to look and unpack what people are telling you and not just assume you know what somebody says by, I would trust you or I wouldn't trust you. You have to really unpack that. If you have a good relationship with the community, you're really involved, as Sean and her team have been, your recruitment can be pretty easy. I mean, we had a lot of the women came to our focus groups was they liked the recruiters. They trusted them. We had one quote where the woman said, well, I trusted her, meaning the research assistant. So that's why I did this, because I trusted her. And that had to do with who she was as a person, as well as her connection to them as being another woman who had been through this process. Because we did this iterative process between collection and analysis, we were able to discover and clarify concepts that were really important to these women. And if we hadn't done that, if we had stayed with that thematic to more topical and not been open to really listening and looking at that analysis in kind of an open way, we would have missed that. We would have missed those questions about about changing the process to meet the needs. We would have missed that stuff. So it was really important that we did that. And by doing that, we were able to really look at this intervention as not just what we addressed, but how we addressed it. So those were, I think, the key things that we really found from this doing the methods in this way. And I think it really helped that the two of us were sort of in different research camps, but came together to really with the same purpose in mind. Thank you.